Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Caplin Point Laboratories Q4 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Manuja. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Motilal Oswal Financial Services, we welcome you all to the Q4 FY24 conference call of Caplin Point Laboratories Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of Caplin Point Labs, represented by Mr. C.C. Paarthipan, Chairman of the company, Mr. Vivek Partheeban, COO of the company, and we also have with us Dr. Sridhar Ganesan, Managing Director, Mr. D. Muralidharan, CFO, and Mr. Satya Narayanan, Deputy CFO. I would now like to hand the conference over to Caplin Point management for the opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Tushar. Hello and good evening to everyone. Welcome to our earnings call to discuss the results of Q4 and full year 2024. Please note that a copy of all our disclosures is available on the investor section of our website as well as on the stock exchanges. Also do note that anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript along with the audio will be made available on the company's website as well as the exchanges. Please do note that the audio of this conference call is copyright material of Caplin Point and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or attributed in press or media without specific written consent of the company. I would like to now hand over the floor to our chairman for his opening remarks.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our earnings call. At the outset, let me present the data of CapEx and OpEx for the last four years. CapEx of the last four years stands at 800 crore. OpEx has been at OpEx stands at 1,400 crore. Cash and cash equivalents as on date is 900 crore. Total is 3,100 crore. It is entirely from our internal accruals. Here, I have not even added the dividend paid also. Let us also look at the market cap. The market cap in 2001 was 1 crore, and in 2006, it was 10 crore, and in 2024, as of now, which is 10,000 crore. Let me summarize some of the major developments that happened in 2023-24. You are aware that the top and bottom line cash flow and liquid assets are significant, which I don't want to repeat. Recently, INVIMA concluded the audit in our CP1 at Pondicherry successfully for softgel capsules. We'll be now in a position to register our products, especially softgel in Mexico, Chile, and other major geographies of Latin America. We are also constructing a tablet and capsule section and remodeling the injectable to go for INVIMA inspection in one to two years from now. We have also completed registration of 85 products in Chile. We are sending one of the managers from Guatemala to Chile in June to open a new warehouse, which will also increase our business for the current year. We received six marketing authorizations from Mexico. We have filed 23 products. Another 10 products are getting translated in Spanish for filing shortly. Out of 21 products filed in Mexico, 12 products are from Chinese companies that are EU and USA-approved facilities. I'll be traveling to China to meet some of the big companies for our future business, which again is an asset-light model for biological products. Here, I would like to submit some of the statistics of our export of three products in 2006 as well as now. We exported 600,000 capsules of amoxicillin in 2006 from China to South America, whereas We are currently exporting close to 350 million capsules of the same product, which is an increase of 600 times. We also exported 5 lakh tablets of paracetamol in 2006. Currently, we have exported 150 million tablets, which again is an increase of 300 times. We also exported ceftriaxone powder injectable of 50,000 vials in 2006. Now it is $5 million, 100 times increase. The purpose of telling this one is not to invest in CapEx, which of course, you know, it's not easy to get the return on investment, especially for the product where China is very, very competitive. These products are sourced from the top companies such as CSPC and Rayon Pharmaceutical. We also test these products in our own facilities, the form of QAC in China, and once again in Guatemala in Central America, to make sure that the product is in line with international standards. If the quality is no good, I'm sure we would not have actually grown in the last 18 years of our presence in Latin America. Again, the Chinese products, the primitive products such as penicillin, cephalosporine, paracetamol and others, which most of the Indian companies import the API. Now, my visit to China is to source value-added products such as insulin, biosimilars, and peptides, which are only manufactured by the deep-pocketed corporations of India. We outsourced primitive products in the earlier stages. Now we are planning to go for biological products, which we are sure that will bring add value to the company, and we will import these products in bulk, and we'll do the full finish in India and export it from India to other countries where we are currently operating now. Some big Indian companies have also followed this methodology initially. Later, they started manufacturing their own biological products from the scratch. This will be a great opportunity for our company to increase the cash flow and profit without investing in the facilities that involves huge capex. Let us look at Caplin Steriles. The sales has increased from 200 plus crore to 300 plus crore now. We are also getting into automation, digitalization, and outsourcing of our ANDA and other USFDA facilities, which are more of CMOs, and also the front-end process. And all these details will be presented to you by our COO. We have also completed the tablet and capsule section of our oncology facility called Caplin One Lab. So there we are commissioning the injectables, which is in progress now, and it will be completed, say, 10 to 12 months from now. Once we complete the injectables, we'll plan to go for EU audit and subsequently for the US inspection. Our API facility in Vizag and AMCO API are still work in progress. However, we are sure to complete it in 2025. We are also automating and digitizing our existing facilities, which will be future ready for machine learning and AI. Further, it's also true that we have some challenges in the form of attracting the right talents. Like any other company that grows faster, hence there is some delay in the completion of our API projects. However, this will not create any impact, and it has not created any impact also in our exports in the past and the present and future too. Finally, let me quote the following one. Be uncomfortable for a year or two to be comfortable for the rest of the years to come. Thank you. Thank you. Let me invite the COO to give his presentation.
Thank you, Chen. So I would like to take a little, I would like to brief you a little bit on Caplin Steriles' business, which is our regulated market and US-focused business. So obviously, like Chairman said, there's been an increase of over 50% in the top line. And the split up in revenue is once again on a larger base is once again around 75% of product revenue and 25% in milestones and profit share. We feel this is commendable because we do not do any exclusive deals. We do very little CMO as a company. So if we went around talking to other pure play CMO companies, this gives us validation that we had to endure a few painful years in the early stages because we invested heavily into R&D, we invested heavily into creating assets of our own. But we are starting to slowly see that the dividends being paid out for that. So if you did a little comparison between our numbers compared to any other CMO's numbers, you would see that we are significantly better off with a much better pipeline in the years to come as well. The revenue is also backed by a good growth in overall output. We went from 16 million vials last financial year to around 27 million vials. And we've also had three ophthalmic product approvals happen in the last few months. We've already launched the first one, and the next two ophthalmic products are going to be launched in the coming quarters. We're also very shortly going to be launching our first ready-to-use bag injectable product in the U.S., which is a very niche area. We have, as of now, 21 approved products, 21 approved ANDAs in Caplin's name, with another 14 ANDAs under review. They are a mix of emulsion injections, emulsion ophthalmics, suspension injectables, again, ready-to-use bags, and also plastic vial products. I would like to repeat what Chairman said in terms of outsourcing. Our company has been built on a solid foundation of asset-lightness for quite some time. So even in the U.S. and regulated markets, we feel that this is something that can be repeatable. So we are at early stages of discussing with other CMOs where we can slowly start to transfer some of our high volume but low value products so that we can start to focus only on niche molecules inside for in-house manufacturing. So this is the right time probably to discuss about our front end in the U.S. because as a company, we've always been very focused towards having control from the marketing end of things, which is what our entire Latin America business is. Right. So Caplin Steriles USA Inc. is making very good progress. At this point, we have already received 27 state licenses out of 50, and we feel confident that over the next 2 to 3 months, we should be in a place, a substantially licensed place, close to all the 50 states. We have another pipeline of 35 products that are under active development that we will be filing over the next 2 to 3 years. But now we're also starting to focus a little bit more towards developing very niche global dossier kind of molecules, which is something along the lines of GLP-1 products, which are your anti-obesity, anti-diabetes kind of peptide injectables. And we're also happy to inform that our line 5, which is an expansion that we've done in phase 2 of our plant, is running very successfully. In fact, close to 50% of all the output that we're seeing in recent times is coming from this particular line. We also have a line 6, which is a prefill syringe and a cartridge line. And this is the one that is being qualified right now. In the next 1 month, I think all qualifications will be completed. And our new peptide injectable products for global markets will be manufactured out of this line. We are moving towards a higher level of productivity now, and we want to make sure that we have the same level of compliance and even higher level of automation at this point. So from our facility, we are already completely automated on the QC and microbiology side. We've taken on a software partner that will be automating all of our manual logbooks to electronic logbooks in the next few months. That will be the stepping stone for us as we move towards overall automation, including electronic batch manufacturing and packing records. Once again, coming to the front end, we are trying to do something a little bit different to the tried and tested model of supplying to GPOs and larger wholesalers, etc. We want to, we want to evaluate an opportunity to go direct to hospitals, direct to clinics, hospital chains, etc. And even though this might take a little bit longer, this might result in slower top-line growth, we feel that this is a much more sustainable and more value accretive kind of method. And whoever that we speak to in terms of the team that we are trying to build up over there, they seem very excited by it, because people by and large in general are quite tired of the amount of consolidation that has happened at the front end with the GPOs, etc. So early stages, but we feel confident that with a large portfolio that we are building on, we should be quite successful over there. And this is also sort of a repeat in pattern from what we are doing in Latin America as well. So that's about what's happening at CSL. We remain, the captain shares, we remain quite excited with the growth prospects. We're already at, I would say, a mid-sized base. We're no longer very small, but we still expect the coming years to be quite exciting for the company in general. Now I would request our CFO to briefly touch upon the financials before we can open up the floor for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ravi. Good afternoon once again to all the participants who have taken time off to attend this investor call. This is Murali Dharan. The figures are already available with you in the website. And I would say that the revenues have grown by 15.5% and the PAT has grown by 22.4%. How is that we have achieved is on account of two or three reasons. One, the contribution margins have gone up by about 3%. And the overall contribution increase is about 166 crores and 10 crores is an increase in other income because of interest income has gone up. So this 176 crores, we have been very judicious and discreet despite the expansion of the various units and then investment in USA, investment in new onshore facility, all those things. But still, we have been very discreet and the expenses have gone up to only the 56 crores, meaning that 122 crores have directly flown into more than two-thirds of the increase in contribution has flown directly into EBITDA. That has helped increase in the PBT as such. All the parameters are very good. And then the PAT is also at 26.19%, whereas we have been consistently saying that we will be hovering between 24.5 and 25, which we have overshot. And then the performance has come about, as Mr. Vivek said, from three areas. One, Sareans has done a very commendable growth on a low, though albeit on a lower base. So 51% growth, which is about 108 crores, they have grown. And then the new soft gel line, which we have commissioned in the month of April, has facilitated not only increase in the volume of sales, but also the increase in contribution margins, because these are all niche products and most sought after products. And then they are operating at almost 90 to 90% of the enhanced capacity as of today. And as Chairman put it, we have also cleared the INEMA audit for the soft gel line and then opening gates for newer markets and larger regulated markets, by which time you will also gear up for enhanced requirement. And as far as the cash and cash reserves are concerned, it is about 910 crores. And then cash flow from operations is at 316 crores, which is almost 60% of the PBT. And last year also we had about 60%. The sales is growing. There has been an increase in trade receivables. There has been an increase in inventory. We always believe that inventory closer to the market is our strength, and which is being proved time and again. Whenever there is a shortage, whenever there is an opportunity, we quickly cash on the opportunity, and then the inventories and though the number of days would have slightly gone up and the quantum would have gone up, and resulting in blockage of working capital, we are very conscious about what we are doing, and then this will definitely pave way for better growth in the current year and then better margins to flow from the market. So this is it from my side, and if there are any questions from the audience, we are more than welcome to take it. Over to you, Sylvie.
Yeah, thank you, sir. So we can open the floor for questions from the audience, please.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of CA Garvit Goel from Invest Analysis Advisory LLP. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Congrats for a good set of numbers. I have three questions, starting with the Mexico side. So we have 6 injectable products approved in Mexico and shortlisted around 25 social products also that we are going to file over the next 24 months. So my question is, how do you see the things shaping up in Mexico over the next 2 to 3 years in terms of our market share in the target market of Mexico and Mexico's overall contribution to our top line?
I request Chairman to take this question.
See, we are not going to register actually 20 to 25 products immediately because softgel capsule, which you mentioned, especially softgel capsule, it takes time because we'll have to actually go for a bio studies. We will start softgel capsules of OTC to start with, but the product that I mentioned in the form of 21 to 22, they are all actually injectables. And this is going to create another asset-like model for us, actually, in Mexico, as most of the products have come from China. And we of course, we are getting business from Mexico. Mexico, now we are concentrating more on the tender business. Once we complete the registration of 25 to 30 products, we'll start our own warehouse, and then we'll get into the private market. Maybe 2 years from now, we'll see, we are sure to see, actually, sufficient business coming up from Mexico. Hello?
Yes, sir. And sir, can you also comment on the status of USFD approvals for our facilities? That is, for all existing facilities, are these approvals in place or we do expect any kind of audit for the USFD for the software capacities that we are commissioned recently?
Yeah, so our last FDA inspection for the injectable plant was last year, and obviously there is no set period for when the FDA would conduct inspections. For example, if you look at EU, it's once in 3 years. If you look at INVIMA, it's once in 3 years. But whereas when it comes to the US, it is very much up to their own evaluation of when a facility needs to be audited. But we are always following the policy of being anytime ready. Right, so a state of compliance throughout, a state of good manufacturing practices throughout is what is needed. And when it comes to the soft gel plant, we have just completed the INVIMA inspection, and we are not looking for USFDA for this site. We are focused on Latin America much more from this place. And the question that you were asking in terms of 25 soft gels, that will be from this plant into Mexico, but that will happen over a period of time, like Chairman said, it will happen over the next 2 years.
Yes, sir. And just last question, like on the your long-term strategy, which our Chairman cited in annual report of FY22, of having presence in most of the regulated markets by FY28, as a result of which the captain is aspired to convert top line of FY22 to bottom line of FY28. So, but if I look at last 2 years, we have been able to grow our bottom line at 22% CAGR, which is although a decent performance, but falling short of from our own aspirations. So, my question is like, we are doing the substantial CAPEX and getting our products approved in the regulated market. So, do you believe our growth trajectory will shift from this 20% CAGR, that is what we have been doing, to kind of 30% or more from this year onwards, driven by your U.S. business started kicking off consistent approvals of the newer products in the newer geographies, along with these new initiatives like fill finish concepts. Can you please put some color on it?
Okay. Let me tell you, currently we are doing very well in the existing business of Latin America. And the one which we are focusing for the bigger geographies, especially, Mexico and other markets, Mexico and the U.S. And as you know well, these markets, of course, the entry barriers are quite high. The registration also takes a long time. As a asset-like model, we are planning to go for other products in the form of, as I told you in the course of my actually talking, that will also, it will take its own time because once we import the product and do the full finish, you are supposed to do the clinical trials, phase 3 clinical trials. So all these things, maybe 2 to 3 years from now, we are sure to get actually very good business from the market, irrespective of the size of the market, whether it's ROW or the regulated markets. Until that time, you are sure of continuing actually the performance which has been happening for the last 7-8 years. Is it okay? You want to ask any other question, please?
No, sir. That's it for my side. I'll join the...
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Singh from KK Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, I have one question. So, we are having lots of cash, more than 900 crores in our balance sheet. So, how are we planning to utilize this cash in the next 4 to 5 years once we complete the capex of the Caplin Steriles? So can you please help me on that?
You know the saying, no, people always say top line is vanity, bottom line is sanity, cash is king. And we keep the cash actually for future acquisition. Suppose if you come, in case if you come across a meaningful acquisition, that will definitely increase actually our top line and bottom line and cash flow also. That's one of the reasons we, in fact, whatever cash which we generate in the form of additional cash, it gets accumulated over a period of time. Side by side, we are also completing the projects. And this is not only used for project completion, but also when we go for various products, such as biological products and all, that involves a lot of money in the form of phase 3 clinical trials. We'll be using it for that also. On top of it, as I told you before, this will be used mainly for the meaningful acquisition at a later date.
So, are you planning to do acquisition in the next couple of years? So, how are you?
It all depends. It can happen after 1 year, maybe after 3 years, which will not say. The reason is, the opportunity is when it comes, and that if it is a meaningful opportunity, we'll definitely go for that one.
Okay, sir. And, sir, we have a good dividend policy. So, our company is, giving the increased dividend year, more than 10 years now. So, I'd like to check if is there any possibility of maybe buyback or, bonus?
So far, we have not taken any decision. Anyway, we'll check with our directors and take a call. Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chinmaya Bhargava from Badrinath Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just have a simple question on Caplin Onco. Could you just tell me for FY24 what the losses were that we're carrying on the balance sheet right now? I know you said it'll be profitable in, 6 quarters or so. I just wanted to understand what the losses are currently in the numbers.
Yeah, as of March 24th, we are carrying about 2.82 crores as the loss for the financial year 23-24. We commence operations only on the 15th of March, and we will definitely back push from the coming year. Am I audible?
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshat Vijay from Hame Securities Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
So yes. Can you be quite loud?
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. And congrats for a good set of numbers. So, if you see the business actually have shown some very good performance over the last few years, right?
Could you please be louder? Your voice is inaudible.
So I'm saying that in the last few years, the business has shown some really good performance, but now we are slowing down a bit, right? But, and I do understand that there is some gestation period before we expand into this larger LATAM markets and US. But if you can just throw some light over like what kind of growth we are targeting in the near term, say for the next 2 years, FY25 and FY26, then that will be helpful. Thank you.
As we told you actually earlier, we continue to actually do the way we have been doing it for the last actually 6-7 years. Slight dip here and there is likely to be there in any company. And it's more like actually a bend, it's not an end. So what will happen, considering the amount of money which we invest in the projects and also the business model differentiation that we have conveyed it to you, we are sure that we would like would be in a position to do very well, say 2 to 3 years from now, please.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's it for my side. Best of luck.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dikshant from DB Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations, team, for a great set of numbers. The question is to
Mr. Chairman.
So, firstly, thank you so much for the beautiful annual reports that you have written. Our family has been an investor since 2016, ever since you said that our top line will be our bottom line. One of the best annual reports that you have written. The profits have always been better to see. I have three questions, sir. The first one being, sir, when you say a meaningful opportunity for a acquisition that we might get, I understand that we are preparing our war chest right now so that once we see the opportunity, we can strike on it. But could you paint us a picture of what a meaningful opportunity would look like? What is it that we are looking for?
Okay. I would like to put it this way. We may not be very keen to acquire a company. We would be interested in acquiring a distribution company. The reason is, you are aware that you know, we always actually remove the intermediaries and go for the last mile, be it in the form of pharmacy or be it in the form of hospital. Suppose if you are in a position to get actually some distribution company in the bigger geographies, that will open up the opportunity to understand who are actually the, which is the last mile in this part of the world. So that one is actually, I feel, is a good opportunity for us to go for a meaningful, that's one of the meaningful opportunity. Rest, of course, we'll cross the bridge when we reach there. Because this is one area which I'm sure because it will be very unique. Yeah. Rest of it, of course, we'll have to see it and believe. After that, we'll believe.
Understood. So you mean that a forward integration strategy, something like where we are able to get more distribution, so it impacts our sales directly and we are able to drive more business that way. Is that the thought process?
Idea is not to own our own distribution, but when we own our own distribution, the biggest advantage which we will have is the entire set of actually people who buy medicines from the distributor will be known to us. Then we'll be in a position to get the correct market info from those people who have been actually getting the products from the distribution company.
Yeah, got it, sir. Got it. So the other two questions are related to most of the journey of you as a founder. One is, do you still take any crazy adventures in life? This is a personal curiosity of mine. It's a personal curiosity. Since you started your business, you used to take a lot of adventures in order to capture new market share. Your stories are very famous amongst the small cap investors. Are you still taking any adventures, sir?
No. See, when I didn't have money, I had to go for physical actually risk. Now we are taking calculated financial risk. So I don't want to be adventurous at the age of 70. Anyway, at the end of the day, I was telling today in the board meeting, see, there is an expiry to our medicines, but there is no expiry to our dreams and goals. So we will continue to strive for excellence in our business.
Certainly, sir. Certainly.
Thank you.
So one last question, if I may ask.
Yes, please. Yeah.
What's the most recent book recommendation? This is again going through the 2016 annual data. I've read every single book that you have said there.
Thank you. You're asking me to mention the book, some book actually. Are you talking of it?
I'm talking about, you have always recommended your readers the books that you are reading at that point of time for your business. Is there any book that you're reading right now?
To be very honest with you, the workload has increased.
Yeah.
In the process, half late, what I do is,
yeah,
I go for some of the paper cuttings which are very interesting. One such is actually in front of me where it states, can you handle the truth? It takes a lot to work to suss it out, he says.
Yeah.
This comes in, normally if you see in Times of India,
yeah,
you see some of the important, some interesting articles. So like this, you know, I find a lot of interesting articles in many magazines like Inc. and then, you know, Entrepreneur and this type of stuff. No, I'll take the, I'll always go for the, these things. And I've not been in a position to read any new books, to be very honest with you. I bought some and I have not been able to read it.
Thank you so much, sir, for being your constant.
Thank you so much for having invested in us and having believed in us. We guarantee you that we believe in making money with respect, and we will continue to be happy actually for having invested in our company and they invested your faith in us. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Sir, on this OSD facility, which is now, you know, expected to commercialize soon or just got commercialized in 4Q, so what kind of OPEX can be expected from this facility in FY20?
Now we decided to do it in two ways. You are aware that we have actually a facility of OSD in Pondicherry. Recently, I even told you actually, you know, that we have completed our Enuma inspection for soft gel capsule, where we are planning to go for a tablet and capsule facility, which will be used for filing the documents. As you know well, OSD involves R&D, then of course biostudies, which takes at least 1 to 2 years of time before we file the dossier. So what we will do, we will build a facility in Pondicherry itself, and we will use that facility to file the documents, mainly to countries like actually, you know, Mexico, Chile, and other places, and later we'll think of US market. And the second one, which actually for which we have bought the land and we are planning to construct that facility, that will be for the US market. That, of course, we'll do it in the second stage. Probably we'll start, say, 6 months from now. And once we complete the registration in markets where we are very comfortable in the form of Latin America, then we will move actually to US for OSD.
Okay. No, I was referring to this oncology facility, which got completed in 4 to FY24.
I think, Tushar, when it comes to OPEX, we are probably looking at, after the injectable one is also done, we are probably looking at around 1 to 2 crores maximum in the initial period, per month.
For that to after the injectable facility?
After the injectable one is completed.
Yes.
But, so just on this, I guess this is the first time you have mentioned about biosimilars per se. So what kind of, in terms of why we are starting initially with outsourcing the product from China and then trying to do the fill finish. So any particular investment or let's say R&D which is going to be there over and above?
I would like to give you some inputs on that. See, India is one country, you know very well, is like a pharmacy of the world, where we export the maximum after the U.S. actually. The maximum amount of products exported from India to U.S. market, I think, is we are number two after U.S. Whereas coming to biosimilars, there are only 15 to 16 factory maximum in India. In China, there are around 100 factories in China. Now they have overcapacities and underutilization. This is a time actually for us to go for bulk import And then, you know, the timelines, of course, it's not easy to predict at this juncture. It may take, in the sense, you know, while importing, it takes its own time to decide how exactly it has to be imported. Luckily, we have an injectable facility and we'll be in a position to do full finish in the same facility. But the clinical trials may take time. It depends upon the market where we are entering into. Initially, we'll go for the ROW market, which, of course, we can even do it with the phase one trials. If you have to get into regulated markets, then we have to think of phase three. But we will never be in a position to think of actually U.S. because it's a place for actually monopolies and near monopolies. So we'll concentrate on markets where we are comfortable now. We'll also go for to the second level regulated markets, something like Mexico, Brazil, South Africa, that kind of a stuff. The business is huge, but how long it will take and how much we'll be able to make, it's difficult for us to actually say. Opportunity is good because this is one thing which some of the big companies in India have done before. Today, companies of our size, they I'm sure, no, will not be in a position to think of this one because we at least need to find the 600 crores to do all this type of business.
Got you, sir. And on the Caplin Sterile side, you know, we had a very good traction for FY24 with, in fact, achieved slightly more than what we had guided for. How to think about the business for FY25? And before that, if you could also share EBITDA or PAT for Caplin Sterile in FY24.
We make a request CFO to give the numbers, and then I will take over.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Hi, this is Sachin Aranai here. For the year ended 31st March 2024, Caplin Sterile had an EBITDA of 61.2 crores with a PAT of 18.7 crores.
Yeah. So when it comes to outlook, obviously, we remain very excited about the overall prospects. We expect a few approvals to come through this year. That should augment our business going forward. We should also take into account that some of the products that we are doing are slightly more me-too kind of generic products. So we do expect some amount of reduction in orders for the older products. So that is, it's important for us to have a wide enough portfolio that some new products or some other products are going to replace anytime there is a downturn in other ones. Also remember that by end of the year, we will have some sales coming in from the U.S. Front end as well. While it might not be very meaningful in the first financial year for us, I think next year onwards we can start to see something a little bit better from our own label.
So considering this and considering the current size of the business, the growth momentum will sustain in 25-26 or there will be some amount of moderation over there?
So over a longer period, I think whatever that we've given out, we remain confident that we can achieve those numbers. Of course, year on year, you know, there might be some dips here and there, but obviously we've come off a slightly smaller base, right? So we've grown 50%. If I have to stick my neck out and say, are we going to grow another 50%? That's not going to be possible immediately. We'll grow well. We will grow well. It's important for us to keep in mind that we want to grow qualitatively also and not just quantitatively, which is very important, especially in sterile injectable business for regulated markets.
Understood. And just lastly, if you would want to share overall revenue EBITDA margin guidance for 2025-26?
We continue to have actually the same growth that we have been having, as I told you before. We are sure of actually, you know, achieving what we have achieved before.
Great, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anupama from Ratnatraya Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Just wanted to know actually the revenue for the sterile business for FY24.
The overall revenue for FY24 is around 316 crores.
316 crore. Okay. Yeah, actually, you mentioned EBITDA and PAT already. That was my other question. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Nitesh Dutt from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions on the LATAM business. Number one, I want to understand the competitive dynamics a bit better. So if you could just let us know who are the major players that you are competing against, what kind of companies, etc. And are they following a similar business model or doing something different in terms of distribution? Second, we have grown the LATAM business at 25% odd CAGR for the last 10 years and expect high growth rate going forward also. But in my understanding, the market demand itself might not be growing that fast. So what has allowed you to gain rapidly gain market share from the competitors? So just these two.
Okay. There are two sets of business actually in most of the markets. One, of course, is the brand marketing. Other one is the generic marketing. Coming to the generic sales, private and institution business are the two models which is there in every country, irrespective of the fact whether the size of the country is bigger or smaller. And coming to our Latin American business, we are mainly into the Central America, as you have rightly said. Coming to the competitors in general business, virtually, to be very honest with you, there is no competitor to us because we are there for the last 20, 21 years. In one or two markets, we are there for 18 years. And recently, my eldest son was here for the TNEMA inspection. That time I asked him, can you identify some companies which are prominent, at least with some products for the last 10 years? Then he started telling me one or two products. Then is it not possible for you to compete for that one or two products? He said, definitely it's possible. Then he asked me, is it worth actually to do that one? I said, you let me know what is the volume and then I'll tell you whether it's worth actually or not. In fact, we always try and actually do a business which is more of qualitative than the quantitative one. That's the reason we are in a smaller geography. Although we are in the smaller geography, we are more like actually monopoly in this smaller geography. We are very unique and there is an entry barrier in the form of like 20 years, 20, 22 years. Anybody who has used our product, he comes back and buys the product most of the time. And again, this is a business where people, you know, like if you see the disparity between the top companies, most of the multinational companies and us, the disparity in prices is huge. If our product is $2, the same generic which is sold by a multinational company or a big company from Argentina or other areas, at least 4 to 5 times higher than our product. Most of the guys who used to buy actually these products earlier, they also switched out to our products because we have been there for a long time. If you are any company for that matter, if you are there in the market for 20 years, it is bound to do good, not actually, you know, it's true, saturation comes, but to handle the saturation, we go for variety and novelty. We started with 20, 30 products. I can even tell you, actually, it is in front of me. India, from India, today we have registrations in the form of 4,485. Whereas from China, it is 275. And there was a time we used to do 60% of our, actually, business from China. Then it got reduced to 40, now it is 20. Now, what we will do, once I go to China, when I travel to China, I look for opportunities for the ROW market to start with, because there is no entry barrier. If products are unique and it's going to be accepted in the market, I'll open up the opportunity, you know, by sourcing from that company. So like this, we change our strategy to suit to the requirement of our customers and market. This is what actually is taking us to the next level. Because we started with increased product registration, then portfolio of registration, you know, from normal primitive products to CNS, CVS, diabetes, like various ranges we include. Then, you know, from tablet, capsule, liquid oral, suspension, ointment, injectables, suppository, like that we go. Now we are planning to get into peptides and then go for insulin, go for actually biosimilars, initially for the ROW market where we are currently there. These are the things which will always make us stay afloat and move to the next level. Thank you.
Sir, do you see this strategy, right, which had been working for you in terms of having more registrations, more varieties, etc. Do you think competitors also might start following similar kind of strategy and the intensity might increase? Because despite having 75% of the portfolio in generics, we make quite good gross margins. So would it be increasing, would it be attracting more competition? Because if I take the example of India, right, in the trade generic segment, people don't make that kind of gross margin. So I just want to understand, if we talk about 5-10 year horizon, can competitive intensity increase and thereby erode your margins and growth profile?
It's not the generic that counts, it's the business model differentiation. Yeah, had I sold actually my generic in India, we won't be talking to each other, to be honest with you. That's the reason I tried my best in Africa, especially in the toughest part of Africa, thinking that, you know, I won't have any competition. But our own people, who used to stay in English colonies, moved actually to the Spanish and, Portuguese and French colonies. That was the time I went to countries where I didn't see the Indians and Chinese who are into pharmaceutical business. But once you get into that place, if you prolong for 10 years, that was the period actually the physical risk was there for the family, and we were subject to our family for the physical risk and establish our product. The people who are used to your product, especially the generic, they don't go to the doctor. They bring the tablet, they bring the strip and show it to the chemist and buy. And while working in the market, I myself have found, and I asked the chemist also, see, you have given the product that the customer showed it to you. Why don't you change the product and give it to you? The answer which showed me is, if I change the product and give it to the customer, next time the customer will not come to my shop, we will go to the other shop. So there are so many things which matters in this business. It's not one thing. If, as I told you before, if the competitor wanted to actually encroach into our area, they could have done it actually by now. Our business is getting increased year on year. If they were really encroached into our area, the business would not have increased in the last 20 years. It all started with actually small way, but the entire business, 80%, 75 to 80% of our business comes only from six smaller geographies of Latin America. So this is now that actually there is a Chinese wall in the form of entry barrier. And I even asked my son, that's why I told you once again, I repeat, the purpose of asking is to find out how far they entrenched themselves into our territory. It's not much. It's not easy also. Even if I have to go and do business in a country where somebody else is there for the last 20 years in the form of generic business, it's not easy for me to get into his terrain. It's not easy. That's how actually the generic model works. Only issue is you have to ensure good quality, affordable prices, then variety, then novelty. This is how actually you have to increase, keep various warehouses next to the customer so that the customer understands there is no logistic issue. Even if he buys the product, if there is some quality issue, you can return the products to the warehouse. On the contrary, if you want to buy the product, you have to open an LC. Or even if he goes for some other company which has got only 10 products, what we will say, if you are buying 10 products from my competitor, don't buy actually other products from me. You go and buy from him. Automatically, he will give it and come back to us.
Thank you, sir, for the elaborate answer. This is really helpful.
Thank you.
Last question from my side, if you can. So out of the LATAM business, can you give the FY24 geography-wise contribution from your top 3, 4, 5 geographies?
Yeah, the major business comes from Guatemala. See, that's where my son has become a son-in-law of the Sahel also. And the next one is Nicaragua. Equally good actually is El Salvador. Then comes actually Honduras and Dominican Republic. The last one is Ecuador.
Is it possible to give what percentage of the Latin business is coming from Guatemala, Nicaragua, and...
In fact, you know, I have to check because we have not done. But half late, I've been actually, you know, staying next to the factory, which is 60 kilometers from here. I'll ask my finance professional to give the percentage of sales break, and I will send it to you. You can even write to us. It's not an issue. It is there with us. Is there any way you can do it, Mr. Murli? Is it available now? Can you give it right now?
Right now, it's difficult for us to offhand give. We normally track LATAM as one big basket. We do not go, so we have the figures. It may take a while to collate and then share it with them later.
Sure, I understand. Thanks a lot for this. Really
thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Vyas from UTI AMC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, sir. Congratulations for the good set of numbers.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, good evening. Sir, what would be the CapEx coming in for next 2 years, so let's say for FY25-26?
I think almost 50-55% of the CapEx is completed, except, you know, the APA, of course. The APA also, one is actually, is not a green field. And the exact amount, I would request actually our CFO to give the picture, please.
The current WHP is around 113 crores. What is pending to be invested is on the new OSC facility and then the APA facility, what Karen was talking about. And then the injection, major equipment, the injection onco major equipment has already been committed and then paid for. And then residual investment will have to happen there. And whatever additional lines in CP1, what we are planning, will have to be included. So though all put together will come to about 250-300 crores in the next couple of years.
And I would like to add one more. Since I told you about some of the projects in the form of actually biosimilar and insulin, these are things we will be in a position to understand the exact picture after I go to China, after I travel to China. So now, currently, I'm not in a position to give the exact picture of the investments into these areas, please.
Sure, sir. Thanks. And all the best for us.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Dikshan from DB Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. So speaking particularly on Mexico, so there have been recent news for different companies as well that there are a lot of Chinese people, businesses that have entered Mexico because U.S. is having a lot of trade issues, and they have had a lot of trade tariffs on China. So the Chinese strategy has been to go to Mexico, invest in Mexican companies, and there are a lot of subsidies also that they get from Mexico and U.S. trade relations. My question is that you always look at people of different geographies coming to your competitive landscape and then taking actions that are necessary. Are you seeing Chinese people coming to Mexico and taking some of our business that we have been working towards? Is that a threat that we have right now?
It's true, you know, it has come in the news that, you know, Chinese are moving to Mexico to start some business so that, you know, the name Chinese will not appear in their labels. But they are not into pharmaceuticals. They are not getting into pharmaceuticals because of late, our professionals and my son, they go to Mexico quite often to find out what is happening there. The message which I received from them, so far that they have not got into pharmaceuticals. They are into other areas. You know, China, he is actually the exporter of key starting material for most of the products for the whole world. So rather than showing the key starting material which comes directly from China, you know about actually, you know, what is the situation from the West, you know, how exactly they approach the Chinese. That's why they are trying to get into this type of market and disguise themselves on an export, but they are not into pharmaceuticals that way.
Okay, so it's not really a threat for us yet, is it?
Yeah, definitely it is not going to be a threat.
Okay.
So farmers in China, who are very smart in doing private market business, they are good in some technology nowadays. They are good in copying and all those things. They are very good at it. But coming to marketing, they have not been that good compared to our Indians.
Okay, so if I were to distill down our edge in the business, it really is our customer relationships that we have been able to build over the years, and that's why we are also thinking of strengthening our distribution system, because that's going to be a double strength move for us. Is that the thought process?
Can you please come again, because it's not audible for me. Sorry.
Is it better, sir?
Yeah, now it's better, please.
So, sir, coming back to the edge that we have in our business, so we have always been able to have better relationships with the local businessmen and local people that has helped us to scale our businesses even historically. Is that the thought process to have a better distribution channel in going forward to improve our edge of marketing and distribution, plus also sourcing at better prices if I were to, you know, like distill down our edge?
Correct. What you say is true, because the edge is actually, it's better to go for distribution rather than going for actually something in the form of marketing where you have to invest money and do it. But when we go for distribution of a generic, the most important factor is the differentiation in your business model.
Yeah.
To directly go and actually copy someone who is already, you know, a giant, it's not easy for us to beat it.
Yeah.
If you want to be a numero, you know, even if it is a smaller business,
yeah,
you can't run faster than a person in the form of actually a giant. You have to only run in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
That's what we've been doing in most of these countries also. We're not trying to copy the big boys. We're trying to do something on our own, which we call it as unique, and this works. And that's what actually the CEO also told you when it comes to actually what we are planning to do in U.S. market also.
This is possible
in the private market, not in the tenders.
Okay, got it. So the even in the U.S. injectable business, it's our goal to get private contracts with the same thought process and playbook that we have perfected over the years?
Yeah.
Yes.
Now I would, thank you. Yeah.
Okay, got it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vivek Parthiban for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you everyone for taking time out and attending the investors phone call. We hope to be in touch with you in due course. And once again, thanks to Motilal and Tushar as well for conducting the same. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Caplin Point Laboratories, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.